Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah and chapter number 34. The book of Isaiah and chapter number 34. We're marching through this book of Isaiah, and we're now past the halfway mark and now exploring this section of the Bible that is going to come into the siege of Jerusalem. And these are things that are starting to build up to it. God is allowing through the prophet Isaiah to prepare the people with different sayings, with reminders, with them to look up to the Lord, reminding them to trust the Lord in the middle of battle, in the middle of distress, in the middle of perplexity, in the middle of all of these hard times, and that God is always the solution, and that God has always made a way of escape, and that we could find the answers, that we could be a hopeful people even in our darkest times. We find our way to the book of Isaiah in chapter number 34. The book of Isaiah chapter 34, and notice with me in verse 1. Isaiah 34 and verse 1. Come near, ye nations, to hear, and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world and all the things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury is upon their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them, he hath delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain also shall be cast out, their stink shall come up out of the carcasses, and the mountain shall be melted with their blood. And all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all of their hosts shall fall down as the leaf falleth off the vine, and as a falling fig from the fig tree. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Edomia, and upon the people of my curse to judgment. And the sword of the Lord is filled with blood, and is made fat with fatness, and with the blood of the lambs and goats, and the fat of the kidneys of the rams. For the Lord hath a sacrifice in Bozrah, and a great slaughter in the land of Edomia. And the unicorn shall come down with them, and the bullocks with the bulls, and their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust made fat with fatness. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. And the streams thereof shall be turned into pitch, and the dust thereof into brimstone, and the land thereof shall become burning pitch. And it shall not be quenched night nor day. The smoke thereof shall go up forever. From the generation to generation it shall lie waste, and none shall pass through it forever and ever. But the cormorant and the bittern shall possess it, and the owl also and the raven shall dwell in it, and he shall stretch out upon it the line of confusion and the stones of emptiness. And they shall call the nobles thereof to the kingdom, but none shall be there, and her princes shall be nothing. And the thorn shall come up in her palaces, nettles and brambles in the fortress thereof, and it shall be an habitation of dragons and a court for owls. And the wild beast of the desert shall also meet with the wild beast of the island, and the satyr shall also cry to his fellow, and screech owl also to the rest thereof, and find herself a place of rest. And there shall be a great owl make her nest and lie and hatch and gather under her shadow. And there shall be vultures also together are gathered, one every one with her mate. Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate. For my mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them. And he that hath cast the lot for them, and his hand hath divided it unto them by line, and they shall possess it forever. From generation to generation shall they dwell therein. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, mark a phrase that we find in Isaiah chapter 34. The book of Isaiah chapter 34, notice with me verse 16, seek ye out the book of the Lord. Seek ye out the book of the Lord. And with this, we're going to place a great emphasis here of seek ye out the book of the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, we're just asking that you would give us grace and mercy. Give us understanding. Let us see you through this. Let us be able to see what a great God that you are and that we could trust you. Lord, I'm just asking that you would just help us even now, that we could depend upon you. Lord, thank you for your book. Help us to appreciate it even more. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. In this passage here, just as a quick overview, is speaking about the destruction of the nations that are against God and against Israel. And once again, it is giving this great prophecy of this time of troubles, this time where God is going to be pouring out his judgment upon the land. And all of these are going to be pictures and symbols and poetical ways of expressing the land is desolate, the land is destroyed, there was nothing there. There is great imagery here. Just try to get across the destruction and the things that are here. Just as a little asterisk, verse 7, where it talks about unicorns, it's not talking about horses. It's talking about dinosaurs with a horn, a unicorn. Unicorns in the Bible are dinosaurs, same as dragons, which once again you'll see as a habitation of dragons. This is a common way of being able to explain the destruction, verse 13, that it should be the habitation of dragons. That is a common poetical way of explaining that there's such a bad destruction that the only things that will reside there are dragons, dinosaurs, fire-breathing dragons, which no one wants to go mess with, but that's their habitation. And so all of this is talking in poetical language, talking about the destructions. But then in verse 16, it switches gears. There's an element of hope as he begins in verse number 17 through chapter 35, which we'll cover on Sunday night, is going to talk about the millennial kingdom and that God has promises and that in the midst of all of this, there's going to be destruction because God promised he was going to protect his people and there was going to be destruction against all the enemies. And because God promised in it and he wrote it down, there's going to be a place forever for the Hebrew people, and they're going to live in this millennial kingdom and where Christ will rule and reign with them. And the linchpin to tie this together would be verse number 16, where the Bible says, "Seek ye out the book of the Lord." That is an important principle that we find, that we're to seek out the word of the Lord. We are to seek the pages of God's word. By the way, notice as we could see clearly, and read. You're supposed to read the book. Where do we get hope? From God's word. How do we get that hope that's in God's word? By reading it. The greatest thing you could do on a daily basis for yourself is to read the word of God, because it is in the word of God that we have the answers. We have the hope. We have what God has given to us. It is God's word. And so if you don't mind, I'd like to take a tour of the Bible. And I'd like to show you this emphasis that God has placed here of seeking from God's word. Now, again, in verse 16, just to get the context of it, seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. No one of what? None of the prophecies that God has given is going to fail. It's all going to come to pass. Notice again another poetical thing. None shall want her mate. What is this speaking about? Missing prophecy. That if God prophesied it, it is going to be fulfilled somewhere else. It's not going to be missing its mate. You're going to be able to match this together. If you could allow a little side thing, one of the things we did in our first draft for the chronological Bible is that we listed the prophecy, where it was fulfilled, when it was fulfilled, and how many years. That didn't make the final draft, but we had lots of them where it was interesting to see each one had its mate, that it had its fulfillment. There was no hanging, missing prophecy. Whether it's still in our future in the millennial kingdom, we could say fulfilled in the millennial kingdom. Whether it was in the future, fulfilled in the tribulation, we could put the tribulation. Fulfilled in heaven, fulfilled here. That we could find its mate. Again, that may not be significant to you, but to me that's very important. There's no such thing as a prophecy given that's not fulfilled or going to be fulfilled. It has its mate. What does this have to do with anything? We could trust God's word. It is completely trustworthy. It will be accomplished. Then God explains why. For my mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered it. God is saying, I commanded it, and my spirit has made sure that it is there. We could trust it. This is not a book written by man. It is a book written by God. And a God who knows everything. So knowing that God has given us this and given us the commandment to seek the book, to seek the book of God, to read the Bible, because in it has the answers. Let's take a quick tour of the Bible and let's see what we're supposed to be seeking for. Notice, if you don't mind, the first thing, seek the book for salvation. Seek the book for salvation. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in the Gospel record of John. The Gospel record of John, chapter 5. In the Gospel record of John, chapter 5, Jesus makes a very important statement. John, chapter 5, the Gospel record of John, chapter 5, notice with me in verse 39. The Gospel record of John, chapter 5, and in verse 39, Jesus clearly says, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Jesus very quickly, concisely, clearly said, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think. This idea of thinking is not wondering or postulating, but it carries the idea that we have processed, we have learned, we acknowledge that we have eternal life from God's book. Do you know that you cannot get saved outside of God's word? Someone had to explain the Bible to you. Someone had to tell you what the Bible said. And if you ever come to the place of doubting your salvation, search the Scriptures, for in them you have salvation. It is this that tells you eternal life. We are to seek the book because it nails down our salvation. That's the whole purpose of the book of 1 John, by the way, is to let a new believer know what they have in Christ. We know that 2 Timothy 3:15, you don't have to turn there, it says that the Scriptures make us wise unto salvation. That it's the Bible that gives us wisdom. It tells us we are to seek the Scriptures because it's the Scriptures that tells us about salvation, about this eternal life, about this Christ who loved us so very much, this eternal life. And it testifies of the life giver, the one who gave us this life. Search the Scriptures for salvation. As we go on, we also see something here. Seek the book for comfort and hope. Seek the book for comfort and hope. Turn with me, if you don't mind, to the book of Romans. The book of Romans in chapter number 15. A powerful statement found in the end of the book of Romans. Romans in chapter number 15. We are to seek the book for comfort and hope. You know, we all need comfort. We all need hope. We all need encouragement. Where do we get this from? What is the best source of encouragement we can have? Notice with me Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, so the things that were written before in the Bible, were written for our learning. Why? That we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. We are to turn to the Scriptures. Let me tell you, the greatest cure for your depression is to get in the Bible. Not just to read it, but to find what is this. Search for that hope. Seek ye the Scriptures and read. Seek ye out the book and read. Because there's the answer. Why are there so many Christians that are hopeless? They're not in their Bible. Why are so many Christians joyless? They're not in the Bible. Why are so many Christians discomforted? Because they're not in the Bible. The Bible is very clear that we are to seek out the book and read. Why? Because it's through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures that we might have hope. Oh, it is the Bible that gives us the answers. It's the Bible that tells us where to go. Psalm 119:105, many of you can quote it. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light into my path. God's word just doesn't tell us the truth. It tells us where to go. And we can have confidence in God's word and follow it. And there's hope because of the Bible. Remember where we started off in Isaiah 34. That was written to give hope to the Hebrew people. I've got a plan for you. I'm going to take care of your enemies. I've got something for you in the future. Have hope in this. Trust in this, that God's word will not return void. We can get our hope and encouragement and comfort by seeking the book and read. Seek in the book and read. Oh, we're thankful for it. Psalm 119:114. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Remember, the word hope in the Bible is a confident expectation of something or someone sure to come. And it is because of the Bible we have a real hope, because we can trust in his word. Seek ye in the book and read. Why? Because it's through the Scriptures that we have comfort, that we have patience, that we have hope. It is God's word, and we need God's word. Notice something else as we explore. Why should we seek in the book and read? Well, seek the book for spiritual nourishment and growth. Seek the book for spiritual nourishment and growth. Look with me, if you don't mind, in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 17. Acts 17, of course, Paul is on his missionary journeys, and he has gone from church to church. And the Bible gives us an interesting thing about one of his stops. In Acts 17, in verse 11, Acts 17, verse 11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, meaning these Christians who just got saved following after Christ, this local church. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, that in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. The Bible here is giving a compliment to the church of Berea, that those church of Berea, they are more noble because they received the Scriptures and searched the Scriptures. They sought the book because this is what they need. This wasn't a Bible just as a weekend activity or religious formality. They opened it with eagerness. They received it and they sought it out every day. That's how spiritual growth happens, is by being in the Bible, seeking in it, receiving in it, meaning the idea that I've taken it for myself. We talk about receiving the gift of salvation. It's something you have to take for yourself. That's what that saying, receive. This is for me. I need the Bible. You're not reading the Bible as a checklist. You're not reading the Bible just to get it out of the way. You're not doing it just because this is what religion says. I need the book. I received it. This is for me. And I sought it daily. We are to seek it. And this is how we grow. Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. This is how we grow, is by getting the Bible, putting it in our heart, and it keeps us from sin. You understand? This book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. We need to search the Scriptures to grow daily. We need this, to search the Scriptures. The Bible says quite a bit more about seeking the Scriptures. It talks about the promises that we could seek God's word because it not return void. It's his word is like a hammer. But I want to divert just a little bit. And I want to help you with this, especially this principle of growing, that God is speaking to us. Remember that God is speaking to us through His Word. I want to tie a couple verses together, and I want you to be patient and give me a liberty to do so. But turn with me, if you don't mind, to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I want to hit a principle that we find in 1 Corinthians 14. Then I want to apply it. First Corinthians 14. And notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse number 10. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 10. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. What does that mean? Well, the Bible says that there are many different voices, and each of the voices are unique and recognizable. We know that. If you ever been into a bigger place, and as a parent you heard your child cry, you could listen and say, oh, that's my kid. You could recognize, out of all the cries, it's my kid. Maybe when they grow up, you could hear the young person fall down, and you could hear them cry, and you can know immediately, that's my kid. That voice, you could recognize that voice. Every voice is recognizable as you know it. Okay, so we're starting with the principle. Every voice is recognizable. Turn with me now to 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3. First Peter chapter number 3. And notice with me, if you don't mind, 1 Peter chapter 3, and notice with me verse 15. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. The Bible here is saying that we need to be ready to answer every man. Now remember, everything's got a voice. Now we have to be ready to answer all of those voices. That means we need to be able to identify them and hear them. Be patient with me. With this, maybe I could do an illustration, all right? We don't have a lot of kids here, so I'll have to modify. Good. Let's get Max, Krista, Samantha, Zeb, Nick. You're like, we don't need to write things. Courtney, come up too. All right. So now bad recording because we're all down here, but line up in a straight line over here on this side, except for Nick. I want you over here. So line up. All right. Good. So we're going to put you over here. Now again, be patient with me. This is going to be a Christian, all right? So what is he? Christian. Good. And I am going to be God. Now who am I? God. I'm not, I'm a person. But in this, I'm going to be playing, all right? But then we have voices in the world. Voices in the world. All right? And so let's do different voices, all right? You are a girl. All right? And so what are you?
A girl.
A girl. Okay, that's the voice, girls. All right? You are beer. What are you?
Beer.
Beer. What are you?
Beer.
Good. She sounds excited about that. Beer. Okay. Beer. Good. All right. Wow, you're just really excited about that beer. All right, good. And you are going to be television, entertainment. All right, so what are you?
Television.
Television, all right, good. And each one of these have voices, and they speak to us. All right, you are going to be work. What are you?
Work.
Good. And you are going to be money. Money. All right. So, and each of these are voices, okay? So what are you?
A girl.
Good. So girls, right? Yeah. Good. Now, we're going to have to use loud voices today. So what are you?
Girls.
Good.
Beer.
Okay.
Television.
Work.
Money.
All right. Now, all of those voices are all around us. Not all of them are bad, but they're voices. And they could speak to us. And each voice is significant. Each voice is unique, and each voice we could recognize. But did you know that God's also trying to speak to us? But God speaks to us differently. Let me give you an example. The world wants to get our attention. So in order to get our attention, the voices are
loud.
So let's practice, all right? All of you at once, say what you are over and over and over. Go.
Beer, 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 beer.
All right? Good. Now that's a lot of voices. Each one is significant. Some are good, some are bad, but they're begging for the attention. Isn't the world screaming for our attention? Over and over, and those voices are so loud. So we have a Christian. Now, what I want you to do is you are going to walk that way, all the way up to the wall. Go ahead and take your time, walk up that way. But I am going to stay here. Who am I?
God.
I'm playing God. All right. But I'm going to be speaking to you, and I'm going to be giving instructions. And by the time we're over there, I'm going to ask you some questions about this, okay? All right, so when he walks by, you're loud, okay? You guys understand the instructions? You understand the instructions? Okay, ready, set, go. All right, now, do you believe the Lord was speaking to you?
No.
You don't believe the Lord was speaking to you?
Wait, yes, I just couldn't hear him.
You couldn't hear him. So, do you believe that the Lord had a will for you?
Yes.
Do you believe he had instructions for you?
Yes.
What did he say?
I don't know.
Why not?
I couldn't hear him.
You couldn't hear the voice. Does that make sense? So, come back up here. So, here we have all of these voices are getting our attention. All of these voices screaming for us. But the Bible says the answer. Notice there, you guys stay there. It says in 1 Peter 3, verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. So here's the answer. So what we have to do is purposely sanctify ourselves. The word sanctify means to set apart to bring us to the place of attention. So this time, you face me. Now we're going to go that way. You think you can walk backwards without killing yourself?
Yeah.
All right. This time, so let's scoot you over here. You've sanctified yourself. You have purposely put your attention on me. And we're going to go back and we're going to try this again. Okay? You ready? Good. Now, was God speaking to you?
Yes.
Good. And does he have a will for you?
Yes.
Did he have something for you?
Yes.
What was it?
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God.
Very good. So he had instructions. Notice it doesn't quiet the voices. The voices are still there. But this time, because he sanctified and purposely took time to listen, he was able to hear in spite of all the voices, without God yelling, without God screaming to get his attention. Does that make sense? You go ahead and be seated, all of you. The world doesn't quiet down the voices, nor do we make them shut up. They're not going to stop. But the answer is, in order to hear God's voice, we sanctify ourselves to him. We seek the book and read. So that way, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to have an answer. In fact, everyone come back up now. Sorry. But we need to have an answer to everyone that asketh you of the reason of the hope that's within you. All right, so we have here, what are you?
Girl.
Girls, all right? Are girls trying to get attention? Well, if we sanctify ourselves, we can be ready to have an answer. Keep our thoughts pure. Keep our thoughts pure. We have an answer for that. What are you?
Beer.
Good. Bible says, wine is a mocker, and those that partake are not wise. I have an answer for beer. Look at that beer, still so happy. We have?
Television.
Good. Now, we have an answer for television, that I will not set any wicked thing before mine eye. I have an answer for that because I've saw it in there. We have work, right? Work. Now, is work bad?
No.
But what happens if work wants me to skip church? That has a problem. So therefore, the Bible says not to forsake the assembling of myself. I'm able to answer that voice. We have over here?
Money.
The Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. And that I could put it. You see, we could have an answer to all of those voices if we seek the Bible, seek the scriptures, and read. Now you can be seated. Thank you. The voices will not go away. And we can't make them shut up. But the answer is to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts, to turn and purposely pay attention to him, to seek him early so we could hear his voice throughout the day, because each voice has signification. Every voice is unique. Every voice is important. But the voice of the Lord is the most important, and we will not hear it over the crowd if we don't purposely sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. If we don't purposely seek the Bible, seek his word, and read. We must have this for ourselves to hear the voice of God. How is it that we have the hope and patience and comfort of the scriptures? By seeking in it and hearing God's voice in every line. How is it that we know that we have salvation? By seeking the law of the Lord and reading and hearing his voice. How is it that we're able to grow and be guided in the Christian life? By seeking in the Bible, seeking his word and reading to hear his voice. Out of everything that's in there, we have to hear his voice. To seek the law of the Lord. To seek in God's scriptures, his holy book. And read. The question for you is, I'm not asking about the voices, because every single one of us have voices that are loud and screaming for our attention. The question is have you been hearing God's voice? If you have not, the answer is to sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, to seek his book and read. And we could hear his voice in the midst of all of the cries, in the midst of all of the screaming, and be ready always to have an answer to every man. From the book, we could have an answer for all of those voices, and it helps us to grow and seek after him. Seek the book. Seek the book and read. Let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And Lord, we're thankful for your book. We thank you that it's your voice. We thank you that you can guide us and direct us and give us hope and comfort and patience, that you could help us to grow. And it's through your book that we can know that we're saved. We know that there's voices out there and they won't be quieted. But in the midst of that, we could hear your still, small voice when we learn to seek the word, to seek in the book and read. Lord, I'm asking that this would just really help open someone's eyes. Let them see that the greatest thing we could do on a daily basis is to be in the word of God for ourselves. Thank you, Lord. And we love you. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.